Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey, the place for coaches, healers, consultants, and other service-based folks so you can learn how to build a sustainable, meaningful business without having to resort to the dark arts or sleazy marketing techniques. Hi, it's Jo Casey. Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast. So, doing something a little bit different today. So I recently hosted an online virtual garden party event, shindig, virtual retreat type thing, and it was delightful. It was just so lovely. It was a free event. We had guest speakers, and the theme was all around how do we continue to build businesses that are sustainable, not just financially, but also energetically and emotionally. And so I thought I would share some of the recordings of some of the sessions over the next few episodes with you. So today I'm going to be sharing one of my sessions, which was all about how we can, as coaches and healers, reframe this concept of value, because for a lot of us, we really struggle with charging enough to be able to survive and thrive in our businesses. And I think there's a number of particular reasons for that. And so we talk about how we can overcome that. I do a bit of live coaching, and it's all around lovely. So without further ado, here it is. Hope you enjoy. Okay. I want to spend some time talking about that kind of first piece that I mentioned right up at the beginning, that financial sustainability. And there are all kinds of, you know, we could fill days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks talking about this, but I want to talk about just one aspect of it that I see as being particularly prevalent with holistic folks, coaches, healers, those who identify as meaningful business owners, heart-centered business owners, whatever kind of terminology you want to kind of use to identify yourself. And that is the belief that what we have is a gift because we're good at it and we love it so much and we know the power of it. And therefore, somehow charging over a certain amount, like above a survival amount, somehow sullies that gift, somehow sullies that relationship. And I say this as somebody who for many years and still has the tug to would offer mates rates. So for those of you outside of the UK, do you know mates is a term for, I never know what I'm translating, what I'm not. Mates is a term for friends, so like friends rates. So basically, friends and family discount. Exactly, Cara, exactly. So because it kind of just feels like, well, it doesn't really cost me anything. I really enjoy doing it and I'm really good at it. And there's some healing aspect to it there. And it just, you know, it just doesn't feel right to charge. And so I want to spend a bit of time just unpacking some of that. And I also want to just lead you through some questions and some things that I'm hoping we'll kind of start to shift that. Because let me tell you the big problem with that. If the healers of this world, if the coaches of this world, if the holistic people of this world are the people who care for others and help other people to stay more rooted and grounded and deal with their trauma or show up as more robust humans in the world. So Rosalind said, this has been my problem for so long with cracking the friends and family discounts. It was really hard. I hear you, Rosalind. I hear you so much. If the healers and the coaches and those people in the world can't have financially sustainable businesses, can't earn enough to pay rent, buy food, have the odd dinner out, have dinner every night if we want to, have all of those things that we need money for in order to, you know, just have that baseline level of our needs met. If those of you who are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we have our basic needs,
like somewhere to sleep and security and things like that. If we are not charging enough, and I know so many people who aren't charging enough, or who avoid the conversations, or who avoid marketing to avoid the conversations so that they can not charge enough, then we end up not being able to do that work in the world. And that, to me, is not just a tragedy for those individuals themselves. It's a tragedy for our society. Because if there's one thing the world needs more of right now, it is healers, it is coaches, it is people who can help heal some of the really toxic and painful stuff that is going on in the world and is being almost like passed around, like some toxic past the parcel that's going on. You know, if we can stop the cycle of trauma being taken out on other people, people not being grounded in their own self-awareness in order to be aware enough of the impact of their behavior on others, if we can break that cycle, then we can truly start to make some change on a systemic level, not just on the individual level. But it starts with healers and coaches and holistic folks being able to get past that idea that it somehow sullies things to charge a survivable amount. And I'm going to push it even further and say a thrivable amount. Because if we can't do our business, or we can't do it in a way that is sustainable. Because even if we are at the point where we're charging a certain amount, but not quite enough, then we've got all of the stress, all of the trauma, all of the fear, all of the worry that comes with not being in a financially sustainable position. And so that's the kind of the big why behind this. So let's talk a little bit about why we think it is so difficult. Feel free to unmute yourself for this. Why do you, so maybe something applies to you. Maybe it's something that you just see in peers, or maybe you imagine this is what some of the problems are. Why do you think it is so difficult for us to be able to charge a sustainable or a thrivable amount for our work? What are some of the things that come up for you?
I definitely don't think that I have enough skills yet, because I'm starting a new business. So I'm like, oh, well, I don't think that I can add X number of dollars amount of value, so I'll stick with free, and then there's less pressure on me.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there's a number of things in there then. So Tanya's face.
I see that.
You so know this is going to be the subject of your next call with her. Okay. So Nick, first of all, let's just pull out how you are defining value. Did you mind if we just kind of do a little bit of Okay. So would you mind just kind of share, I know what you do, but would you mind just kind of sharing with other people what is it that you do?
Sure. I've just started a life coaching business for pregnant women and new mamas. Mm-hmm. And my tagline is that I help them stay centered amidst the chaos of life.
Okay.
By that, I mean, I help them learn supportive philosophies and habits that they can implement in their lives to feel more connected to themselves and confident about the choices that they're making.
Okay. So where's the value in that? I can see no value in what you're doing at all. How are you measuring your do you see what I mean? So I'm being slightly sarcastic there. So how are you measuring your value, the value that you provide there?
I think I'm getting over the habit of measuring my value by how many times in the call they're like, oh, that's such a great idea. Like how many breakthroughs we can actively have in our 45 minutes together or something like that. That's pretty much my current metric. So okay. I'm just trying to shove a lot of stuff into that amount of time.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just take a step back for a minute. Let's just imagine that there is a mom there who is utterly overwhelmed. if she doesn't get help with that, if she doesn't move out of that position, if she stays stressed and scared and overwhelmed, what are the repercussions of that?
For her?
For her.
Oh, man. Probably in all areas of her life, she would start to feel less connected, and like the stress and the lack of connection would probably spiral horrendously and impact her parenting and potentially like relationship involvements and such. I think just lower quality of life, like lower experience of quality of life.
Okay. And what's going to be the impact on other people, on the people around her?
I think similar, like disconnection and potentially, I mean, depending on what expectations they're bringing to the table, disappointment with not being able to connect with her fully.
Mm-hmm. What else? I'm really wanting to kind of dive into this. What else?
I just keep thinking, like, it would just fucking suck.
Yes!
Trying to dance around that, but that's really what I'm thinking.
Okay. So, without kind of you having to kind of put a figure on it and share your fees and things like that, compared to, say, think of one of the other kind of things that somebody might invest their money into in order to have a life that sucked a bit less. Say a vacation.
Yeah.
How much are there, is, you know, say they spend a couple of thousand dollars, probably more, on a vacation. Yeah. What is the lasting impact of the vacation going to be on their situation, the situation on their relationship, the situation on their child?
I mean, without the skills to do personal development, I would say none.
Exactly.
Like, not none ever, but just like, you know, after a few weeks, none.
So there's some really, there's some really interesting but incredibly depressing research. There's an organization in the UK that kind of does a lot of stuff around well-being. And they measured they did a study measuring the bump in well-being that people get from going on vacation and how long that lasts. So there is generally a marked bump in our well-being markers, a reduction in stress, increase in satisfaction and things like that from a vacation. And then how long it takes to get back to people's baseline level of well-being. Anybody take a stab at the average it takes to get back to that baseline level, exactly the same level they were before they went away after they come back from vacation?
I'm going to guess 2 weeks.
It's an average of 4 days. I appreciate your your optimism with that. It's an average of 4 days.
Wow.
So somebody, I love this example because this can be applied to so many of our types of businesses. So somebody spends a couple of thousand dollars on going on vacation. They're going to feel better for the duration of that vacation, you know, and maybe 4 days afterwards, maybe a few more if they're, you know, it was a really good vacation. Yeah. And yet investing, whether it's a couple of thousand dollars or whether it's more than that, in working with you can have a lifetime impact on their well-being, on the well-being of their family, on the health of their relationships, on the well-being of their child. Yeah. That's value.
So true.
Right?
Yes.
So Kara says, lineage, baby. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the value that you offer. That's the value that you offer just now. You know, it doesn't matter how many, I don't know. What are some of the things of experience that you're thinking, well, this is imposter complex 101, right? Isn't it? So what would be the thing that I had? Well, I've got that. I'll feel like I can, you know.
When I've had mystery number of clients, just like more than for mystery amount of time and mystery number of wonderful testimonials that I can put on my website, then I'll be like, yes, I have arrived.
Okay, that mystery number seems a bit hard to to quantify that then. Seems like a bit of a slippery one, that one.
It is.
Okay. So how can you remind yourself right now of the potential value that you bring to people, even before you have the mystery number of clients and testimonials?
I think my biggest thing will be, as I was discussing when Tanya was speaking, like this stepping into seeing myself and the value that I bring right now, like zero more things needed, zero more trainings, times, testimonials, clients, none of it, that it's truly like owning all of the amazingness that I embody in this exact moment and being like, yeah, I add a ton of value. I suspect I will add more different value over time as I continue to grow, and I still add a ton of value right now.
So how can you set up some reminders for yourself for how much value you are providing right now?
Right now. Okay. Well, I'm laughing as you say that because I was just thinking about, but not committed to doing this like secret project of 30 days of self-acknowledgement for myself. So it seems like doing that, where each day I will acknowledge myself and something about how great I am. I still feel awkward saying that, but just, you know, doing it anyways. I think that's going to be my work. Like really filling my folder of self-acknowledgement with, well, self-acknowledgement.
And it's okay to feel awkward about it. I think doing anything new feels awkward. It's like if I asked you to fold your arms the opposite way to you would normally fold your arms, it would feel super awkward. But after a while, you'd get used to it.
True. Yeah.
So I want to throw this invitation out to all of you. What value does your work truly bring to people? You know, take the vacation example as your kind of benchmark comparison point, for example. So, I mean, I don't know what all of you do, but I know what some of you do. So I know that, for example, so Laura helps people to avoid corporate burnout. So not only is the value there that I see to the organization, that they get to, you know, keep their staff happy and whole and, you know, don't have to, you know, lose them to either another organization or just kind of leaving, but also that human value, that human value to that individual, to their family, to their loved ones, to, you know, their descendants, to the people who come into contact with them. The ripple effect to that work is enormous. Jenny, I know that you help people with health conditions to get to grips with their diet, particularly if, you know, for those folks who are in this really kind of scared place of maybe they've just had a health diagnosis and things like that. You are literally giving them a lifeline that can extend their life because you are helping them to really take ownership of those health decisions that they're making around food, that they're making around diet, you know? Give me some more examples. I love doing this stuff because I really want you to see the value that you provide. And the reason I want you to see the value that you provide is I want you to kind of, for as much as possible, banish these thoughts of, I can't charge that amount. I'm just going to charge what I think they're able to pay. And I've shared this story before on courses that I've done, is really early on in my coaching career, I would have conversations that would get to the point of, so how much is it to work with you? And I would kind of go, and I would say the figure that I had thought of beforehand and then go, I know that is an enormous amount of money. That's a huge amount of money. I can totally do it for less money than that. I literally, those words come out of my mouth. Also had it when I've had the figure in my head as to what I'm going to charge, and then a totally different, less figure has come out of my mouth. So I know how this feels. And the kind of the antidote to this is really owning and seeing the value that you have.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We know that building a coaching, healing or holistic business can be challenging and isolating. So at the Meaningful Business Academy, we don't think you should have to go it alone. We've pulled together all of the tools, trainings and support you need to get more clients and make more income without you having to resort to the dark arts or sleazy manipulation techniques. Instead, you'll find done-for-you templates, masterclasses, guest expert interviews and a supportive, like-minded community, all for a low monthly price. Check out the Meaningful Business Academy at meaningfulbizacademy.com because it's time to do business differently. So any others that we can help you with? Oh, where's Lucy? Come say hi.
Can you hear me?
This is yes. Me. Yes.
Oh, good. So hi, everybody. This is my first time in this group, so I'm super excited. I am coming up on my 7th year of being in recovery from alcohol abuse. And I am also have a mental health diagnosis that I deal with every day, and I'm still standing upright, holding down a job, and have a wonderful family, and I have a lot of experience. And I've always known that I'm here to bring something to others. And my experience is not that different than anyone else's. And that's where I get stuck, is I think, so can I curse?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. So fucking what? I've got nothing else to offer. I mean, what do I have different to offer? And the fact of the matter is, and I can say this, but I haven't internalized it yet, mm-hmm. that we all have a trauma or 100 traumas. We all have our own stories. And what we have to bring to the table is there are so many people who say the same thing. Oh, I shouldn't be feeling so shitty. My crap isn't any bigger than anybody else's. I'm not going to ask for help. Mm. So it's important for me, and again, I can say this, but actually taking the step, it's important for me to validate this for others, women of a certain age. I'm 60 years old, and these are the people that I really want to work with. I want to work with the women who are coming into this second iteration of their lives. You know, they've raised their families, they're in recovery, they have stuff that's happened that they minimalize and they've stuffed down. And I can do so much working with and side by side others. And I talk a great game, but stepping into it, I keep waiting for that next class and that next certification and that next, you know, it's just... And then I start thinking about doing it for free. Mm-hmm. And then I think, well, I can work on a sliding scale. And I can work on a sliding scale. I can do pro bono work if I want to. But only because someone is really, you know, I have to be able to judge that someone's really in need and can't afford it. But I can't afford to do it pro bono. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, who can?
Exactly.
You know, I have a corporate job right now, and it's a blood sucker. It is sucking the soul out of my body.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the extra. You have to kind of add the amount of blood that's being sucked out of your soul on your body on top of your fee. If you're going to do this. Right. Yeah.
It's the BS fee. The blood sucking fee.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, I hear you, and I can resonate and I can empathize with that. and I'm sure a lot of us can. That's a story that that many of us tell ourselves. That is, you know, one of the ways the imposter complex kind of gets its claws into us. So I have this real belief. It's a real metaphor that I work with, in that I believe that this that we do, it's alchemy. And so if you have the right two elements, and only the right two elements, the right coach and the right client, the work that they do together creates something that is greater than those two parts. And you are the alchemic match for some people out there. And so you don't have to be like everybody else. So what a lot of us do, I did it totally, is we see who else is out there and we kind of go, oh, I should try and be more like them. Oh God, I'll never be more like them. They've got so many more years experience. Why did I start years ago? And then we go round, you know? But if you remember that you, just you, will be the right kind of chemical element, if you like, to create that reaction in the right people, it's not going to happen if you're not out there doing your work. And so you don't have to. Okay, so this is the thing I think we can all remember. I think I'm kind of building on Tanya's point. The next course, the next kind of piece of learning for us is actually doing the work. The next course, the next assignment for many of us is we have to actually do the work. And so for you, I want you to really believe and really kind of remind yourself of, because I honestly believe that we all know this at some point inside us, is that we know that our story is going to be the story that is the key that unlocks it for somebody. Actually, probably many people. How many times have you heard advice from a particular teacher? Or half a dozen teachers, and you've kind of gone, yeah. And then you've heard it of one particular person and go, whoa, that's the alchemy that I'm talking about. But if you're not out there sharing your story, if you're not out there sharing your stuff with people, if you're not out there telling them how they can benefit from working with you, and if you're not doing that at a rate that allows you to, you know, replenish some of that blood that's being sucked out of you, and, you know, hopefully be able to move away from that if you want to, then you're doing yourself and you're doing them a disservice. They're not going to be able to do it. Does that help? That's what I want you to keep reminding yourself of. You don't have to have done every course or read every book or been on every retreat, or, you know, there's always going to be more that you could be doing.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like that, what you said, the 1.0 versus the 2.0.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even created the 1.0 yet. And that's what.
Oh, honey. Yes, you have.
Well, yeah, I have, but yeah. I haven't put it out there yet.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Any more? I've not been reading the messages. I'm aware that we're going a little bit over time. So.
Jill, did you want one more? Or do you need to move along?
Go on. Yes, please.
I don't know if you want to delve into this now, but this is what I have wrestled with a lot, and I'm guessing other good-hearted people in this group have as well in some way. My thing around money and value I get hung up on is living in a really economically depressed area, having lived in fairly extreme poverty in my own past, and really struggling to charge when I see, you know, the inequalities in the world and the need that is out there, and the people who really, truly can't, you know, like Nancy, you mentioned, really can't afford it. And I know you and I have talked about this some, but I thought it's a good time if you want to.
So I think that is such a good point. And there is no getting away from the fact that we live in a horribly unequal world. horribly unequal. And I think what many of us go to, I think there's a couple of points. I think what many of us go to is that, well, if I start charging a certain amount, or if I start earning a certain amount, then I become just like them, or I'm just feeding that machine that is perpetuating that inequality. And it feels gross. I remember one entrepreneur that I was talking to, and she said, honestly, I thought, I can't start a business. I'll have to become a Republican. So this is obviously somebody who's American. And because I think a lot of us have those kind of conflicts, because, you know, modern day capitalism sucks. It's fairly awful. And then there's also that real desire to help those people that we see who are in need. And there's no right or wrong with this. There is no black and white with it. I think we each have to find our own way of doing what we can and making that right with ourselves. And I can share what I do and how I help to square that for myself. But there's a couple of kind of prerequisite thoughts there, is that you cannot save everybody. You know, there's that story in the Bible of Jesus trying to heal all of the lepers and just getting kind of swamped by everybody. And I know that, you know, us people pleasers, us people who really want to heal everybody, we have to be able to do that from a position of self-sustainability. And if we just give and give and give and give and give until there's nothing left, then we will disappear. We will be all used up. We cannot do that. We have to be able to sustain ourselves. And part of that is being able to sustain ourselves financially. Now, that does not mean that you go to the other extreme, which is, you know, everyone's on their own. We completely ignore them. It's about finding the middle ground that works for us. Now, for me, for example, I came from, you know, I had two socialist parents. I worked in the public sector for many, many years. I had not, the whole idea of even the word business still makes me go a little bit. I'd worked in nonprofits. I had, you know, this real kind of disconnect with charging, and it was a real struggle to be able to charge a sustainable amount in my business. The way that I have kind of made not just peace with that, but I don't know, whatever the next stage up from peace is that I do a certain number of pro bono days every quarter. I do kind of free workshops with some local charities. I can be more in control of and choose where I'm kind of giving that time and that energy. You could, for example, I know other people who have scholarship clients. I know other people who give a certain percentage of their income to charitable causes. The real key thing with this is it's a certain percentage of their income. It's a certain number of days I do each quarter. You have to, I believe, have that sustainable, that financial sustainability there first. And if that means that initially you are working with people who aren't in that really impoverished, needy position, then you have to do the work with the people who can afford your services, and also in order to be able to support those who maybe can't. Does that help? Because otherwise the world does not need one more coach who cannot afford to keep doing that work, because then you're not able to help anybody. Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
Okay,
cool. And like I said, I mean, I know you and I have talked about this, but I know other people wrestle with that, and it would be nice to.
I think it's a really important conversation to have, because it is one of the dilemmas that we have. As part of the goodie pack that you'll also be sent links to for after the workshop, the kind of virtual goodie bag, there's a whole kind of workbook I've got. I know some of you are familiar with this already. It's called How Money Fucks With Your Head and What You Can Do About It. And it's not definitive, but it's, you know, this is just some of my kind of thoughts and tools and techniques about how we can help ourselves with this. Because without that baseline of sustainability, we can't do this work. Or we do this work and we do it and we keep the day job. And if you have a day job that is fine and helps you to do, and you know, I know lots of people who do both and they're really happy with that. But I know many, many more people who are doing that and it's a soul sucking or a blood sucking job that they're doing. Like Nancy said.
Thanks for listening to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey. If you want to know more about how you can grow your meaningful business, then head over to meaningfulbizacademy.com. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com. Here you'll find all of the details of the academy, including masterclasses, courses, co-working opportunities, member discounts, how you can get free coaching, exclusive meditations to help build your confidence and bust through those mindset blocks, and a whole lot more. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com, and I'll speak to you soon.